This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, let's go.
Yeah.
Here we are. No, let's do this thing. Come on. Come on. We want to hear it. Like that's it. Let's go. 888-957-9570. That was undisciplined. That was disappointing, and that was incredibly frustrating. I don't know how a 49er fan can feel differently. No matter the circumstances. I think everybody had their, like, somewhere in there you do shrug your shoulders and go, My God. My God, you know, if I had told you before the season that the 49ers are going to play the Chiefs and there would be no Christian, no Debo, very, very little of Brandon, and no Juwan, if I had said that, your expectations would change completely in terms of what was going to happen. But we're in it, and they're in it, and there's context to all of it, and so that's not the way we felt going into it. We still expect them to do something. And so I went into this, and I told you this. I go, they're not scoring 30 points in this game. They're not scoring 30 points in this game. And so expectations were lower. The Chiefs' defense is fantastic. But like anything else, Dibs, for me, it's the way. It's not that it happened. It's the way it happened.
Sure.
And that was a performance that you just... you can't accept.
No, you can't.
You can't accept that.
I do think you have to look at it from the other side as well, which is they had no Isaiah, their Super Bowl winning running back. They had no Juju, who's at least a good receiver. Whether or not you think he's great or not doesn't matter.
No Rice, no Hollywood.
They only had a little bit of Travis Kelce, and their quarterback was not amazing throwing the football. Now, he was good running it, but if you would take, and Guru said this earlier and I agreed with him, if you would look at his stat line and then put that forward and say, this is what you're going to get from Mahomes, you're thinking, yeah, I'll take that every single day.
Absolutely.
Yet your quarterback, Brock Purdy, not yours, but ours, threw three picks, and he looked out of sorts, like really out of sorts. He was late on throws. He underthrew a couple others. He had a terrible red zone interception, which if they can somehow get a touchdown there, the game feels totally different. So, yeah, Kansas City absolutely dominated them. And I think Kyle Shanahan used the phrase kicked our ass in the post game, which is fair, but you still had many chances to win that game.
You know, it's funny, though. Kick their ass. Yes, they did, but not in what I would say is the traditional sense of the phrase. I thought Kansas City's defense totally kicked their ass. They were fantastic. I expected them to be. They're a very good group. If you're sleeping on Kansas City's defense, you're not seeing what they're doing. The graphics that they were putting up over in terms of how they've held running backs down, some of the top ones in the game in their schedule this year, really hit me. And Jordan Mason did not look like himself. He looked hesitant. There weren't holes. He finally busted through a little bit in the second half. But yeah, they were fantastic, and give them all kinds of credit. But I thought where Kansas City kicked the Niners' butt was not necessarily up and down the field. It was in terms of their I'm going to make up a new phrase. Their buttoned uppedness. That's where they kicked their butt. Kansas City made mistakes. They made football mistakes. But they didn't make any hellacious mental mistakes. The Niners made 14 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what's hard to understand and hard to accept. If you're a fan of this football team.
Yeah, and it's becoming more of a trend than you would want to acknowledge. And whether it's the special teams, which again, the special teams reared its ugly head again with a huge kick return and a missed PAT, which ultimately forced you to be in a 2-score game where it should have been a 1-score game. And yeah, you could say they should have gone for 2. And if they don't get the 2, well, you're down 9. So they chose to kick the 1 and be down 8. And then, or they would have been down 1 at that point. So whatever you want to look at as the decision, it's the execution that's the bigger issue. And special teams, big problem. I thought the defense was mostly good.
Yeah, they were
And then
good.
You got to the second half, and the offense didn't do them a lot of favors. And then Kansas City started to impose their will, and their interior three offensive linemen are very good. And if you watch the tape, Kareem Hunt, off guard all day, off tackle, they were going straight downhill, and the Niners would give up 6 and 5 and 6 and 7, and that was the ball game.
Well, but even when they didn't, I thought you made a really good point in the crossover. Like, even when they would just hand the ball to Kareem Hunt on first down and he'd only get 2. Okay, 2nd and 8.
Yep.
And then you'd give it to him again and he would get 3 or 4. Like, okay, 3rd and 4. And Patrick Mahomes on 3rd and 4 is really difficult to stop, even when he throws it to Travis Kelce behind the sticks. Travis Kelce, this has been described to me. I remember when Kyle Rudolph used to come on the show, another former tight end.
Yeah.
And people ask, because you're like, why is Travis Kelce, like, I don't see why he's so dominant. It's not like he's faster than George Kittle or Dallas Goedert or whatever. Like, it's not. What is so great about him? And he goes, it's because he understands leverage better than anyone I've ever seen play the position before. And I go, that's interesting. And then I thought we saw it on that really important 3rd down in the second half where Mahomes throws it to him out in the right flat. And Kelce knows the second that he's going to receive the ball to plant a foot in the ground and go the other way. And he faked the linebacker right out of his shoes.
Yep.
And converted the first down. And that's what they did so well. The 49ers, on the other hand, I mean, they couldn't even start the game without 1st and 20. They run into the line. It's 2nd and 11, holding 2nd and 21.
Yep.
Well, that's fun. Like, please.
Get Wisnowski ready.
Stop shooting yourselves in the foot. And I know where this goes. And here's, I think, the hard thing for a 49er fan to sort of navigate. You mentioned it. You look at Kyle Shanahan on the sideline, and he is screaming into his mic. He's covering his mouth. He is every cuss word in the book because he's saying the same thing we are. You undisciplined mofos, will you stop making mistakes? But if you ask any fan, who do you blame when your outfit shows up and they're undisciplined? Who do you blame?
You blame the coach.
I don't know what to do with that. Kyle's furious. He looks like he's got teenagers at home. That's what it looks like. Kyle coaching the Niners looks like you and me with teenagers. They won't do what you tell them to do, but if they're all over town robbing grocery stores, who are the cops going to call?
Yeah.
Hey, Mom and Dad, what are you doing over there? Who's the school going to call? So I don't know what to do with that. You can do whatever you want with that. Sure, it's on the coaching staff.
Yep.
But they're just as ticked as we are.
They can be ticked, and you can, you know, be as mad as you want to be, and you've got one more game before the bye, but the bottom line is this has to get fixed. And I'm thinking about everything you're saying about the discipline, and it's a 3-0 game, early second quarter, 2nd and 10, and the Chiefs run a screen, and the Niners see it coming, and they absolutely snuff it out, but there's a flag, and they call Bosa for lining up in the neutral zone, and I watched it back today, and I realized that it wasn't Bosa, it was Okwuanu, and when you look at it, he's in the neutral zone.
Yep.
He's literally lined up beyond the blue line is the line of scrimmage line, and so that instead of a 3rd and 13, it's now 2nd and 5. And so You get another play. Worthy gets a first down. Then you get Givens to jump offsides on first and goal from the 8. That's a free play. And then Carson Wentz comes in out of nowhere, and they run a little pistol with Wentz to Kareem Hunt, and then they score a touchdown. But the greater point is those little moments of you had a play totally bottled up, and that's when they went to Kyle, and he, I believe, mouthed, "You got to be effing kidding me."
Bleeping me, yeah.
Right, because he saw what happened, which is the defense called a great play. They stop a screen. It's going to be third and long, and at the very least, they're going to hold them to 3, and it's a 3-3 game. But instead, they get 2nd and 5. They convert. Touchdown. You're down 7-3.
I got two questions for you, and then we really want to go to the phones, okay? Let it out. What do you want to point to? Let's do this. 888-957-9570. Those of you who are already on hold, stay right there. Two questions for you. One, real quick. You ever seen Brock Purdy play worse?
I would say no. Like, we can look at Baltimore, 4 interceptions.
Sure.
2 of those, Greg Cosell would tell you, were fluky. But I saw yesterday where he had multiple passes batted down. He had one that he threw into Dominic Pooney's head.
Yep.
And
great observation. And that like, was like, how the hell? What on earth is going on?
His first pick he was late on. The red zone pick was a throw he never should have made. And then the overthrow to Ronnie Bell. He looked really shaky, is the word I would use. Shaky. Yeah. So, no, Mark, I've never seen it that bad.
I agree. Worst game of Brock Purdy's career. So here's the extended question. And this is what I think we really want to get to today. Do you take yesterday as just yesterday, or would you like to put a narrative to it? In other words, you know what I'm saying now?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay, because this is what
I hear. What's the backup's name?
This is, Brandon Allen.
Thank you.
No, what I'm saying, what I hear from a lot of people, I woke up early this morning, and the same thing I always do. About to go for a run. Let's see what Bonte and Joe are doing. Turned out it was a different Joe today. So that was the first surprise. The second surprise.
Restaurant quality?
Spot on.
Thank you.
The second surprise is that the first caller I hear uses the two words Trey Lance. And I'm like, now I need to go to AirPods and turn on like easy listening.
I think he could be gotten.
Oh my gosh. So that's what led me to that question. So, to me, yesterday is a flat-out stink bomb.
Yep.
And there's nobody who's going to miss the guilty verdict. Nobody.
He's the guiltiest, though, I would
course.
Say.
Of course. It was the worst game of his life, if you ask me. I've never seen him play worse. So, you're not escaping that. But how many of you want to take yesterday and make a Kyle or Brock narrative out of it? Or was it just yesterday?
Yeah.
How would you answer that?
It was just yesterday. And I think about the fade the dibbers bit where I win 2 games in a row and I talk about how hot I am and you say, no, you need to win 3 in a row to be hot. And at the same time, when I lose 2 in a row, I'm not really cold until I lose 3 in a row. This is kind of what I'm thinking about with Brock Purdy. That was a stink bomb. If we get a stinker against Dallas on Sunday and he comes out of the bye with another stinker,
that's trouble.
Now we can talk about
that's
3
trouble.
Straight games where Brock has gone from hero to zero. So for me, this is one game against a great coordinator, a very good defense, and yeah, he was bad. End of take.
Yeah, Dallas's defense is awful. So if they're not 4-4 7 days from now, then we can have a different conversation. We're not there yet. I would very much, my guess right now with Juwan and Debo probably back on the field on Sunday night, this is going to be very much like the Patriots game where it's like, oh, that's the Niners. We'll see. But they'll be 4-4. They'll go into the bye. Maybe they'll get Christian back for Tampa Bay. And the opportunity to have a good second half still very, very much sits there, and I would still predict them to win the division and all of those things. That's where I sit, not turning in my Brock card, not turning in my Kyle card, not turning in my 49er card. But this, for example, Comcast business text line, is what I'm getting at, okay? 925, what you noticed yesterday was a true Purdy without the weapons game.
Mm.
Why that one? How come when he looked good without weapons, that doesn't count?
Well, he didn't have any of the weapons yesterday.
Well, he didn't have any of the weapons against the Rams either. And I know they blew the game, but he was phenomenal. So anyway, that's kind of, I thought yesterday was the worst thing I've ever seen from him. But is this a bigger issue or a smaller issue? Let's take your calls. You're all lined up. Here we go. 888-957-9570. It is not a Victory Monday on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So talented. That's why. Oh! It's a sneak. And Trish is going to be short. They pull the fake, and the fake comes. San Francisco is ready. On a fake. Purdy looking deep. Sets up. Lost one. That is intercepted. There is nobody there at all. It's picked off by Justin Reed. And Reed finally going to go down.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wynn
on 95.7 The Game.
Randy, you got to play. That's Burkhardt and Brady, obviously, on Fox. You got to play. At some point, we got to just spotlight the interception in the end zone from Purdy. Because Brady ends the call with just a noise. And it was hilarious. Oh, he's like, you know, gosh, and he did, and his arm got in, and I don't know what he sees, and oh, the Niners, and then he just goes, oh, and I was like, yeah, oh, the hell was that? That's a question we should just ask the callers. What the hell was that?
That was Kansas City with a three-man rush, and they brought a fourth late who never even got into the play. Karlaftis with a spin on McKivitz, and he hit Purdy's arm. So you're telling me from the five-yard line on third and goal from the five, pretty big play, and you're down nine, you kind of need a touchdown here, my friends, in order to cut it to either one or three, depending on what you do, and you can't block three rushers? You can't have your five block their three? So we can talk about Purdy, and he was bad, and the defense, which in the second half, they couldn't stop the run, and an offensive line who couldn't protect, and a wide receiver room that was full of teens and preteens. Yeah, there was a lot of bad things that were stacked against him, but you had multiple chances to get back in that game. Multiple.
Of course.
And you didn't.
And they did, until they didn't.
Right.
888-957-9570. Let's ride. Burns in Fremont, first up. Hi, Burns. Thanks for calling.
Gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I too have been listening from the morning when I got to my office this morning, was listening to the morning show, the middle guys, you know, Steinmetz and all that. And it just started boiling. The blood started boiling. And the boiling is for you spoiled Niner fans. You make me so sick. It's unbelievable. Hey, I'm pretty sure even though that nutty guy in Dallas is so nuts, he'd still probably give you Trey Lance if you want in a heartbeat. You want Bryce Young, Niner fans? I'm sure the Panthers will take Brock. Do you think a Spencer Rattler for Brock Purdy? Saints would do that in a second. It makes me sick, Niner fans. And this is what really gets me. This is what gets me. All you dang Niner fans, oh, I don't want to give them 65. 65 million? Who cares? Give them a billion. It's not your money. I don't care. Give them as much money as they want. I do not care about the money. But listen, that's only part A. Part B is the coach. Shanahan, great coach. Who do you want, Niner fan? You want old man Bill? You want old man Bill coming in here and calling the shots? Look how that turned out for New England, right? I mean, give me a break. This is it. If you call in and you're done with Brock and you're done with Shanahan, tell me who you want. Because you know what, Niner fan? You're closer to Buffalo than you are to the old Niners. And that's it, man. That is it.
Burns, thank you very much for the
call. Rack that, Burns.
Here's what I'll say about that, and I've learned this, because actually, Burns, the majority of what Burns just said, I very much feel and agree with. But I've also learned that when losses like this happen, you have to give 49er fans at least 24 to 48 hours to scream into the wind. And that's sometimes what comes out, is we got to move on from Kyle. And damn it, Brock's not a $60 million quarterback. And those aren't real conversations. That's just frustration. And I totally understand it. But yeah, I actually don't think very many 49er fans have huge overarching questions about Brock. He's not Patrick Mahomes, but they don't have like, is Brock any good? They already know Brock's good. And they don't actually want Kyle Shanahan replaced. You're just very, very frustrated. And they are a victim of their own success. They have set a bar for themselves that is very, very high. So nobody's impressed anymore by beating the Patriots. Nobody's impressed by beating the Seahawks on Thursday night. That's what the Niners do every year. They will be impressed when the 49ers can beat the flipping Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
That's all that's left. And they can't do it.
Yep.
And it's pretty maddening.
It's maddening, especially when you look at the way that it went yesterday, where you had opportunities. Patrick Mahomes was not terrific. He was fine. And what he did running the ball, and what he does is he makes plays. When a play needs to be made, he makes a play. And the 33-yard scramble is a great example, where he scrambles, he gets the first down, then he cuts back, and he gets more, and he gets all the way down in the red zone. That's Patrick Mahomes. But if you look at his numbers, quote-unquote, not that eye-popping, 154 yards and two interceptions. If you would have thought that that would be the number, 16 completions, 154, and two throws that you actually were able to take away, you would figure you would beat Kansas City.
Do you want to know what Mahomes did yesterday? I can explain it to a Niner fan in a few words. He had a Jimmy Garoppolo win.
Kind of.
That's what Patrick did yesterday. And we wanted to move on from that.
Well, Jimmy would never have made the 33-yard run that Patrick made.
No, I understand
that. And a couple of the completions that he completed were like, oh, my God.
Right. I'm not talking about the like every single
play.
Just
the numbers.
I'm talking about the box score.
Yep.
That is often what would happen. And so you'd win, and you'd be like, well, what the hell did Jimmy do? And so I do think we get caught in this sometimes, which is you want the 49ers to win, and you also want Brock Purdy to be a fantasy football quarterback. You want 275 yards. You want at least a couple touchdown throws. You want turnover free. That's fine. That's fine. I don't even mind that. You know, again, they've set the bar very high for themselves. And so this is what it's going to sound like when you come up short, but especially when you come up short that way. There's losing to the Chiefs, there's playing poorly, there's doing all of it, and then there's doing it to an embarrassing level of being just completely undisciplined all over the place and having three turnovers and having all of them be really, really bad turnovers.
Yeah, and really it feels almost like a fourth turnover, and I'm looking at it here where Kansas City scores to make it 7-3, and you go three and out, and you get a 57-yard punt from Wisnowski, and they get a 55-yard return. That's a two-yard net, Mark. Two-yard net. So for me, that is almost like a turnover where you go from your own 28-yard line and you're going to punt it, fine. All right, let the defense do their work, and they return it all the way to your 30 because you only were able to get a two-yard net because your punt coverage is so bad. That is almost a fourth turnover to me.
I don't get it. Every game there's at least one special teams play where you're just like...
More like two or three,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but at least one.
Mm-hmm.
Where your hand is over your face.
Yeah.
Every
face
game.
Palm, right?
Totally. Oh. Pat in Foster City wants to respond directly to Burns. Hi, Pat. What are you doing?
Hey, well, I'm just calling in talking to you guys, but I thought the Niners, they had so many opportunities yesterday to take a momentum, and the penalties were just atrocious, and the timing was just terrible. They had so many opportunities, just one big play, and it could have made a huge difference. But I think the biggest loss for the team yesterday is obviously losing Ayuk. I think that's the bigger issue than anything else that's going on now. It's a shame. But in terms of Brock Purdy, you know, I called you guys maybe a month ago or so, and I said, you know, I don't know about paying Brock, you know, $30-35 million, and you guys were quick to say, hey, Pat, how about $65 million?
Yep.
I said, I don't think so. So, you know, to me, I've always been a Brock Purdy fan since preseason. I thought he looked fantastic, and I still really like him. But to me, you know, he's the 15th to 20th best quarterback in the league, and that's where you ought to be paid. Just because you're the last guy to sign a contract doesn't mean, you know, you should get the biggest bucks. And I just have trouble putting my head around the guy being the last pick in the draft. You know, 200 picks went ahead of him, and then you're going to make him the highest paid person in professional sports.
But why is the draft relevant now, Pat? Why is that relevant? And let me ask you this. If you think, forget like, is he top 5, top 10, top 15, top 20? How would you compare him to Tua and Jared Goff? Pat? Yeah. What do you think?
Well, that's a good question. Up until today, or up until yesterday, I probably would have said he's at least as good.
Okay.
But now, when he's not surrounded by such super talent, I'm not so sure about that now.
Well, I mean, you know what we don't get to see, luckily, and Pat, thank you very much, because the reason I bring those two guys up is because no one thinks they're top 5 quarterbacks either, and they're making north of $50 million. And by the way, ask the Miami Dolphins if they think Tua's worth 50. He looks like he's worth 80 right now because the team cannot function without him.
Exactly.
So what we can't see right now, as we see the 49ers and Brock have to play without weaponry, and sometimes it's looked very good and sometimes it's looked very bad. Well, the comparison piece that we need to look for, what would they look like without that weapon? What would they look like without Brock?
Yeah, probably a little bit worse, or maybe a lot worse,
I mean,
depending. And we're all going to get to see on this upcoming Sunday night against Dallas, when you probably will have Juwan back, and you should have a healthy Debo, but you're going to have Pearsall and Cowing, and you're not going to have Ayuk until maybe 12 months from now. Who knows how long he'll be out with the torn ACL and the MCL, and maybe there's other damage in there. Maybe it's a meniscus. Maybe it's, you know, other ligaments. There are 5 of the L's, the CL's in the knee, so hopefully it's not worse than just an ACL, MCL, but just at that level, you're looking at 9 months for sure, maybe longer. Doc Pandia joins us tomorrow to talk more about the ACL, MCL combo and what else is undoubtedly torn in there, and I would imagine that there's going to be meniscus also that's torn. When you lose both those ligaments, usually you have more damage in the knee, so yeah, you might not have Ayuk for 12 months or longer, so you're going to get to see Brock Purdy with Cowing and Pearsall and Juwan and Ronnie Bell and all the rest of them.
Coming up right at 3 o'clock, I want to keep going with the calls. Well, obviously, we're going to keep going with the calls all day. I want everybody to know that. We're going to get to every single one of you. But I got some ideas, or at least one idea,
okay,
that I want to throw by you with regard to the wide receiver room and what the 49ers can do now that Ayuk is out. Let's do Patrick in South City. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for calling.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
What's up? Actually doing pretty good, Patrick. But go ahead.
Awesome. Hey, I want to run a few quick points by you guys and see what you think. Number one, I really wish people would take an objective, not emotional look at Kyle, and I'll tell you why. And I think a lot of people agree with me. This guy is not the offensive genius that all the ESPN analysts and all the announcers think he is. He has choked and choked and choked multiple times in key moments. And I think you guys will all agree that his judgment in very important key situations is not good. Why does this guy keep getting this, you know, from the analysts and everyone else that he's some kind of offensive genius? You show me examples in the last 3-4 years where his offensive genius carried the day. Well, I haven't seen anything like it.
I have such a hard time with this, Patrick. I really do. Let me ask you a question. Do you want him gone?
I want him out.
Okay. Who do you want instead?
There's got to be a coach somewhere.
Not a good answer. Not a good answer. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's not a good answer, Patrick. Like, you want evidence. What were the Niners before him? Like, and this is where I always go, and I end up being, like, sounding like I'm defending him in bad moments. But, like, when fans like you do this, Patrick, do you understand how dismissive you sound of all of the good? Like, what
no,
he
I understand
has, what
you're,
he, so that's the answer.
I understand what you're saying.
So
here
that's the genius. That's the genius.
Why should we stay with this guy when the entire NFL has a ton of talent that we can find, that we can search? Why should we stay mediocre when there's a possibility of becoming better? It's like, it's very defeatist. The only reason why, to me, this guy was in two Super Bowls, and you guys know this, is that our defenses put him there.
Oh, God.
Our defenses were so good that they overcame his terrible judgments and bad mistakes.
They averaged 30 points a game
for the defense as well as the head coach.
And they averaged 30 a game last year, Patrick.
And I don't think that you can look at a team that's been to the NFC Championship for the last 5 years and say they're mediocre.
Mediocre.
This year is feeling pretty mediocre, and they're making a lot of mistakes, and they're undisciplined, and their offense is underwhelming, and their defense has been mostly mediocre or worse, and you have probably the poorest special teams in football.
Yep.
Yes, so all those things together, and you are one game out of first in your division. And if you win Sunday night and Seattle loses, well, you're back in first place. Even though that's not great at 4-4, I don't think you can look at this year and start to think about firing the coach and moving off of, you know, the structure that's been in place that's gotten you to where you are.
Yeah, look, this year has obviously not been a good year, and we can point to tons of mistakes and obviously tons of excuses if you want to call them that. I think you're crazy if you don't want to at least acknowledge the trauma that the 49ers have experienced this year. You get into the week to week and you sort of like, you forget that if we had presented this to you before the game started, you would have said, oh bleep, we're going to suck. A lot of you thought that at 4:30 before week one when the Jets were in town.
Yeah, with no McCaffrey.
Oh bleep, we're going to stink. And then Mason has a good game and you're like, all right, never mind. Right back to the same bar. And then there's no Brandon. And then there's no Debo. And then there's no Juwan. And you're like, why aren't we good? Why is the offense not playing well? This Brock guy sucks. It's like, look, you, it's not an excuse, but you have to acknowledge it's a thing. You have to acknowledge it's a thing.
In general, but not yesterday. I don't think the...
Fair!
Yesterday, I look at an offense where you had an offense committing way too many penalties, a couple of gigantic holds on 1st and 10, so now you're at 1st and 20 or 2nd and 20, and that's going to be a punt situation 95% of the time, and you've got receivers who are unable to separate and get open against man coverage, an O-line that didn't face a lot of blitzing by my eye, yet you had trouble protecting your quarterback, and your quarterback was the worst he's been as a 49er.
Ever.
So all those things collectively, and by the way, you can add in the piece where you had a hard time running the ball for the majority of the game. I think Jordan Mason started getting more comfortable in the second half, and then your head coach decided not to run it as much as maybe he probably should have, but you couldn't run it very well. Your receivers couldn't get open, you couldn't protect the QB, and your QB was making reckless and careless throws. That adds up to a loss most of the time.
Let's go to Miguel in Modesto. Hi, Miguel. Thank you for calling. You're on with Willard and Dibs.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I think a lot of the fans have their red flags raised a little too high already. We all know this team is typically all systems go fully polished after a bye. So I'm going to give it at least until after the bye to see how things go. And as far as Purdy goes, I'm on the Purdy train. The guy can have a bad game. We played probably the best defense in the league yesterday. With Debo, Debo was part of the game plan, ends up not playing. Brandon Ayuk falls out because of his knee, unfortunately. So let's give him the slack he deserves because we've seen a lot of greatness out of him. And as far as Kyle, yes, he can do a better job. But like, just like you guys mentioned, where else are we going to go? Where else are we going to find a coach? So I just think people need to just relax. We've been in 3-5 before out of a bye and made it to the NFC Championship game. Things will be fine. Christian McCaffrey will be back and Greenlaw will be back. health will eventually come. Thank you.
Miguel, thanks. I think your opinion will be heard a little bit better later in the week. But
yeah, maybe.
He's not wrong. You're not wrong at all. But again, like I'm kind of comfortable with this. They've earned this. Their bar is very, very high. And so when they don't meet it, we can have that conversation, in my opinion, without being like, let's start firing people.
Agreed.
Like, that's kind of a wild idea after the success of the last 5 years, everything short of the final trophy, and then you come out to a 3-4 start, which, oh, by the way, they've done before,
yeah,
and made the NFC title game.
This one feels a little different, though.
Does it?
Yeah, because of the injuries and because of, you know, you're hoping to get Greenlaw and McCaffrey back. Ayuk is not coming back. You're on to your third kicker, and it feels a little bit more shaky for me than it did last time when you were 3-5.
That's fair. However, by week 10, a lot of those people could start coming back. I mean, this is the point that I think many have been trying to drive home for a while now. Oh, I won't really be ready to like freak out until I see this look the same way in November and December as it looks in September and October.
Right, because they've normally done great in November, December. Historically, like, Kyle's been good.
It's all set up for November coming out of a bye with Christian McCaffrey to look different. I mean, it's kind of set up to look different this Sunday night, to be honest with you.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that as the week goes on. But I'm looking at, you know, bigger issues from yesterday. And for me, the one thing that I'm trying to keep in the back of my mind is your words where, you know, they should probably be 5-2 right now, and they're not, and I get that, but based on the way they've played better than a 3-4 record would indicate. The Jets are 2-5, and they look like a 2-5 team. They got run off the field by Pittsburgh yesterday, even though they got their brand new shiny weapon, and they could only score, what, a couple of touchdowns, and they got absolutely motorboated by Pittsburgh.
Yep, I think they only hit him for three catches.
And he was seen shaking his head on the sideline.
I think he wants a trade.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Well, the deadline still is a couple weeks away. So,
are you allowed to trade somebody that you just acquired in the NFL?
So.
You can't in the NBA.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you can in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. But
yeah, maybe the Niners should go get Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that'll fix it. Now, you did have an idea about their wide receiver room.
I do have an idea about their wide receiver room, which I'll share with everybody coming up next. But 888-957-9570. Nobody needs to try to bury their frustration today. That's sort of the way that I kind of walked in and woke up thinking about it today. You can be mad. I think you're fair to be frustrated. I think you're fair to criticize. I think all of those things are fair. I just look at them as yesterday, not, ha, see, they suck. And now we won't pay Brock, and now Kyle should be like that. That stuff, that's Twitter. That's for Twitter. Unless you honestly have an idea. You know, someone texted and goes, let's go get Ben Johnson from Detroit. I disagree, but at least that's a thought. But just like fire Kyle because I want someone else. That just sounds like a frustrated rant. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Yeah, we'll keep going with your calls, and I do have a target for the 49ers wide receiver room that we can discuss next on Willard and Dibbs.